In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani continue their series of conversations about prodigies.
So, of course, there are not only European composers and players, instrumentalists, but we also have geniuses here in America. Let's take the case of Shirley Temple.
Let's do that. So my question is, what happens when the wonder vanishes and the child is no longer a child? And this question I still ask. Why didn't Shirley Temple grow up into a mature, great actress? She started with the greatest promise possible. And at age 12, it was all over. What happens there? So let's focus a little on this girl. So she grows up in Santa Monica, cute, adorable, wholesome, as a child. Her mother sends her to a dance class, and a Hollywood producer notices her there. And from this on, of course, the rest is history. In no time, she goes up the success ladder, becomes the number one box office draw as a child actress at age 3. And it goes on for 3 years, with tremendous amounts of money involved, of course. She is a symbol of this wholesome family entertainment and earns a fortune. In keeping with her status at Hollywood, she gets a 4-room bungalow at the studio with a garden, a picket fence, a tree with a swing. Now she's a child. A rabbit pen, and is assigned a bodyguard.
I would think so.
Can you see this? Can you imagine this whole thing? It's incredible. So we're in the mid-30s. The depression is raging. And she's fulfilling a very important function to the American viewer. Very important. She represents, in the film, she represents sweetness and warmth and hope and goodness. Very important at the time, which helps to explain this incredible meteoric popularity, success. Now, by the time she reaches 12, going on 20, of course, with all the things that go around her, the aura of innocence is gone, and in 1940 she stars in 2 flops, and then the bungalow is changed into an office space, and all traces of her are expunged. She's gone. At this point, she's off to a fancy private school in California. Gone are the visits to the White House, the myths, the incredible fame. You know, by the way, Salvador Dali painted her, and the title of the painting was Shirley Temple, the Youngest, Most Sacred Monster of the Cinema. The next thing you know, she's a businesswoman. She sells Shirley Temple dolls. These dolls realized $45 million in 1941. How much money this would be today? It's incredible, incredible fortune. $45 million in 1 year. And lots of other tchotchkes, you know, endorsements of different products, cereal, General Electrics, Packard cars. She is endorsing Packard cars. Only in America.
But you know, Yehuda, yeah. It's so interesting. Into all of this comes a permanence. I watch Shirley Temple films to this day. I'm 77 years old. And I watch them every once in a while. They come up on the old movie channel. They're terrific. So she has a permanence, which is denied to some of the earlier actors and musicians because, if they're on some kind of gramophone or something like that, it's very unusual. Whereas when somebody who's born in the 40s or 50s or 30s, They're permanent in the American lexicon.
That's true. But my question is about her as a child. I'm still looking at her as a 12-year-old kid. And my question is, was this a trap out of which there was no exit, this image that was created of her? Why didn't she go to an acting school?
Yes,
why didn't she continue?
Yes, but look at
somebody
like...
Do you have an answer for that?
Yes, but look at Judy Garland, for example.
Yeah.
You take a prodigy who made her way through life and who ended terribly, but who in fact was able to take from early childhood way up into her later life, mm-hmm. and to do so well. So it's not everybody who gets typecast.
There was one person in Hollywood actually who suggested that she change her name and just to get away from this very strong imprint of who she was, what she meant for the American public, in order to make it possible for her to continue. Well, she didn't do that. So a career that began at age 3 with international fame, at age 5 with the film Bright Eyes. Is that the film you watch when you watch?
No, I watched The Little Princess.
Oh. This career ends at age 12. And then, of course, she becomes, as you mentioned before, she becomes an ambassador to Ghana and then to Czechoslovakia. She sits on boards of corporations. You answered my question before I asked you. You see, for me, I feel differently. For me, Charlie Chaplin is permanent. I can watch him today. I can watch him next year. He's forever a great artist. Casablanca, you can show it to me every day. I'll still watch it. But Shirley Temple, I wonder how many of our listeners will sit through an entire movie of Shirley Temple today.
I would. Okay. And have.
Maybe there's more than one answer to my question. But for a conclusion, let's play her favorite song from Bright Eyes.
Good Ship Lollipop.
Exactly.
On the good ship, Lollipop, it's a sweet trip to a candy shop where bonbons play on the sunny beach in Peppermint Bay. Lemonade stands everywhere, Cracker Jack bands fill the air, and there you are, happy landing on a chocolate bar. See the sugar bowl, do the Tootsie Roll with the big bad devil's food cake. If you eat too much, oh, oh, you'll awake with a tummy ache. On the good ship, Lollipop, it's a night trip. Into bed you hop and dream away. On the good ship, Lollipop. On the good ship, Lollipop, it's a sweet trip to a candy shop where bonbons play on the sunny beach of Peppermint Bay. Lemonade stands everywhere, Cracker Jack bands fill the air, and there you are, happy landing on a chocolate bar. See the sugar bowl, do the Tootsie Roll with the big fat devil's food cake. If you eat too much, oh, oh, you'll awake with a tummy ache. On the good ship, Lollipop, it's a night trip. Into bed you hop and dream away. On the good ship, Lollipop.
You'll awake with a tummy ache.
On the good ship, Lollipop,
it's a night trip. Into bed you hop and dream away. On the good ship, Lollipop.
Shirley Temple performing on The Good Ship Lollipop from the 1934 film Bright Eyes. Before that, Alan Shartok speaking with cellist Yehuda Hanani. To learn about upcoming events in Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, including this Sunday's American premiere of Andre Haju's masterpiece Qehelet, narrated by Sam Waterston, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.